Praised be Jesus Christ, and blessed be the Virgin Mary, our Mother. We must start from the fact of original sin, which is a dogma of faith. The sin of Adam and Eve was humanity's greatest disaster. They lost the grace of God, in other words, the supernatural gift that gave them the ability to go to heaven and enjoy the full happiness of their Father God. They rejected him for sin and were deprived of God's life in their soul and their right to heaven. Furthermore, they also lost the preternatural gifts of immortality, impassivity, which is not suffering, integrity, which is inner balance, and infused science. The problem was that Adam lost these gifts not only for himself, but also for all his descendants because he was the father of all mankind. St. Thomas Aquinas says, "All those born of Adam can be considered as a man by reason of participating in the nature received from the first father." On the other hand, the soul was left with four wounds, according to St. Thomas Aquinas. Ignorance, which is the difficulty in knowing the truth. Malice, which is the weakening of the will. Fragility, which is the cowardice in the face of difficulties to do good. And concupiscence, which is the disorderly appetite to satisfy the senses. When Adam and Eve sinned, they were reduced to the purely natural state, and since then, all human beings are conceived in a natural state, without being able by themselves to achieve the supernatural state and the ability and the right to go to heaven. Hence, children who die without baptism and with original sin, that is, in a natural state, cannot go directly to heaven when they die, even though they continue to enjoy the natural goods of their human nature, which God has not taken from them. But God, in his infinite goodness and mercy, has thought of giving us an easy means of solving the problem of original sin and taking us to heaven, baptism, just as in the Old Testament circumcision was for the Jews. Baptism is a marvelous work of divine grace, raising us to the supernatural order and incorporating us to Christ in the church. Baptism not only purifies from all sins, but also makes the neophyte a new creature, an adopted son of God, who has become a partaker of the divine nature, member of Christ and co-heir with him, and a temple of the Holy Spirit. Catechism 1265. In addition, it imprints on the soul an indelible mark or seal called character. By virtue of this character, an invisible but real distinction is made between Christians and non-Christians. By virtue of the baptismal character, the baptized person receives the faculty and the right to participate in the priesthood of Christ, or priesthood of the faithful, and the power to receive other sacraments with the gifts and graces that Christ entrusted to his church. Character is like a consecration of the baptized to Jesus Christ, which imposes on him the obligation to lead a truly Christian life. In short, baptism incorporates us into the mystical body of Christ in the church, makes us children of God and Christians, and gives us interior sanctification by infusing divine grace with the remission of original sin and all personal sins and of the penalties due to these sins. As we know, three kinds of baptism are distinguished: water, blood, and desire. Of these three, only the first is a sacrament and marks the soul with the indelible seal called character. Water baptism in the Catholic Church produces its full effect. In non-Catholic Christian churches, it has limited effectiveness, since they do not become part of the Church of Christ in its fullness. Let us remember the words of Pope St. John Paul II on the day of the baptism of the Lord on January 13, 2002, when he was celebrating some baptisms in the Vatican. "These children, upon receiving the sacrament of baptism in the church, are transformed into children of God, children in the Son. It is the mystery of the second birth. The grace of Christ will transform his existence from mortal to immortal, freeing him from original sin. Give thanks to the Lord for the gift of your birth and spiritual rebirth today. These children receive baptism today on the basis of your faith. But will they be able to open themselves to faith if they do not receive a good testimony of faith from the adults around them? These children need, first of all, you, dear parents. They also need you, dear godfathers and godmothers, to learn to know the true God, who is merciful love. It is up to you to introduce them to that knowledge, first of all, by witnessing your behavior. What force enables these children, innocent and unconscious, to take such a deep spiritual step? It is the faith of the church, professed especially by you, dear parents, godfathers, and godmothers. It is precisely in this faith that your little ones are baptized. Christ does not perform the miracle of regenerating man without the collaboration of man himself, and the creature's first collaboration is the faith with which it, internally attracted by God, freely entrusts itself to his hands. These children receive baptism today on the basis of your faith, which I will soon ask you to profess. How much love, beloved brothers and sisters, how much responsibility in the gesture that you will make on behalf of your children. Baptism is a masterpiece of divine grace. It is a wonderful gift of God's mercy and a glorious manifestation of the gratuitousness of grace. We are justified and participate in the divine life by virtue of the merits of Christ by sheer grace and mercy. For this reason, St. Gregory of Nazianzus said that baptism is the greatest and most magnificent gift of God. Praised be Jesus Christ, and blessed be the Virgin Mary, our Mother.